This well, medium
welcome,
is
welcome to the D and K and A Repost non-league show. We'll go into that in a little bit more later on. But welcome to the show. Me and Ali, of course, we'll be here for the next hour or so. And of course, we've got some big guests this week because making a debut on the show is Craig and Ed. Of course, Craig, the manager from Portland Rovers. And the man that scored probably one for me was goal of the week last week in the Southern League by a country mile, but it was an absolute worldie last week. I don't think you won it though, sir. I think it was end up Walthamstow's free kick and Bilal Sayoud won it. But it was, I suppose, I really want to start with it because some people said to me, why did I put Ed's goal in there? Because it was a cross and not a shot. Well, from one angle, I would have said it was a cross. From the other angle, I would have said it was an absolute worldie. And I was saying to Craig, just before we started, and I said to him, I said, well, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning when I saw the goal. And it woke me up completely because when I was editing through the programme, I thought it was a sensational goal. But you're the only man that can tell us, was it a cross or was it a shot?
I mean, I'd love to say that I spotted the keeper off his line at the near post and I thought I'd lob him. But no, to be fair, I just aimed for the back post cross and thankfully it went in the back of the net. So when the game was level at the time, that becoming 3-2, I mean, you'll take it no matter if it's something like that from a cross or whether it's come off someone's knee. So no, unfortunately, I'd love to be able to claim that it was a masterpiece of a finish out wide, but unfortunately, not on this occasion.
That's the most honest answer I've ever heard in my life for a cross or shot.
the problem is before Christmas, I also scored from a dubious corner down in Lymington, and so all the lads have been living off the fact that that one was a fluke as well. So when this one went in last week, it was becoming a bit more of a habit. So.
Two in a row. I mean, the third one, surely that's got to be consistency. So next match then, Ed, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, well, I could probably say I've just been practicing poor crosses, but locks won't particularly like that one.
But I mean, with the club, I mean, before we go to companies, just let me just explain something why I'm the show with the D&K and A show, because. Because Ali's stepping in for Keith, and Keith's on the mend, thankfully, and he's probably going to be out for most of the rest of the season. Ali stepped in, and of course, an old friend of ours put a tweet on Facebook, on Twitter, earlier in the week, and said, "Surely it should be called the DNA show rather than the D&K show." So I thought, well, let's just add the A to it. Why not? And,
just for now, it's a loan, isn't it? A loan spell.
So that was the reason why we did it. But I mean, back to sort of Portland Rovers. I mean, tell us a little bit about the club, because of course, a lot of people, you know, I'm in Waltham Abbey, I'm in Essex, you know, and you know, Ali's sort of probably in London, Kent sort of area now.
Yeah, London, South London, yeah. Of course, South London, David.
You know, and so I mean, tell us a little bit about the club, Craig and Ed, and you know, a little bit about what's in the club as such, along with the size of sort of teams and etc. And what's the club like?
Well, they're a smallish club. They're based in a village just outside sort of Bath. Would probably be a place where you'll probably know various sort of local teams around that play in the league below, like Welton Rovers, Radstock, teams like that. We've always operated at the Southern League, you know, consistently well. You know, they've got a very good sort of social aspect there, which is a big part of the club, with the clubhouse and functions. You know, they're open 7 days a week, so that coincides with the football, and just sort of a real sort of standout club, really. You know, everything's done properly, you know, where everything's sustainable. You know, we've got a good reputation throughout the leagues, and you know, we're looking to push on as much as we can on and off the pitch, as everyone is. We're sort of doing
all right at the
moment, and we're looking to sort of, you know, stride on as much as we can.
Mm. I mean, Ed, how long have you been at the club?
So this is my second spell at the club. So I was at Poulton 3 and a bit seasons ago, and then moved up to Tiverton for when COVID came in. But sort of went back on loan to Poulton, and then I've stayed there since. But I think Poulton as a club has been known. You know, my granddad used to watch a lot of football, and you know, he knew of Poulton obviously when I was signing there. So they've been obviously around for quite a long time in terms of sort of the pedigree within the club. So, you know, as a club, they've always been welcoming to new players, and also they always want to hold on to players as well, because I think that's a big part of what they want to do as a team, is to actually have a core solid group of players that are obviously there week in, week out, every week, and they want the best for the club in terms of promotion and playing at the highest level. So it's a good place to be around in terms of off the pitch, and then, you know, what Lox and his team put on the pitch as well is obviously what we aim to go out and win every game. So it's a good place to be around, good environment.
Tough league though, the South Division.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think if you follow the results, you see everyone sort of takes points off everybody. It's really tight, probably from ourselves in sixth, probably down to 12th, where everyone's sort of thinking now, you know, can we get a playoff spot? You know, there's no easy games at all. You know, you can know yourself by our results Saturday. You know, we went to sort of bottom of the league, Slimbridge, and on paper, people probably say Portland sort of run of form. You know, we'd sort of be favourites there, but it was a tough afternoon for us, and you know, we managed to get a point. But yeah, there's no easy games. You know, I think obviously Tottenham and Sheffield look like they're sort of the main two fighting out for the league, but I think anywhere down, you know, I think we're all in with a lot of games still left to play in a short space of time now. You know, I think about 10 weeks before the season ends, so everything's up for grabs, and love the best that goes at that.
You fancying a little title run, or are you thinking playoffs? I know I shouldn't ask you this, really, should I?
No, I think we're quite far out from a title push, but you know, we're one point outside the playoffs. You know, we've got a couple of games in hand on a couple of the teams that are in the playoffs currently. I know there's teams around us that are close to us as well. I think we've got to play everyone in and around us, so I think it's all up for grabs, really. You know, I think we just got to try and sort of stay in that pack. You know, that was the sort of what we aligned when we came in. We said that we wanted to sort of see where we were at Christmas, stay just outside the playoffs. We've been on a great run, obviously leading up to sort of last week. Slipped up a little bit this week. We've taken only one point out of the last two games, but you know, we're still in a very good position. You know, we've got a lot of games coming up, so we're hoping to sort of stay there and then sort of mount a challenge as the season goes on.
And talking about games coming up, I mean, you've got you know, I don't know. I don't know who did the fixtures, but they're not the next sort of 10 days. They're not been really nice to you, have they? I mean, a home tie against Tottenham, you know, then away to Westbury United, and then you know, then you're away to the leaders in Sheffield.
Yeah, it's tough when you look at it like that. But I think you know, we knew we were going to have to come up against these teams, and we had all the fixtures that were called off. You know, we did originally have Tottenham and Sheffield back-to-back a few weeks ago, but they were both postponed, so that's nothing different in that sense, you know. But, you know, we're on a sort of good run of form, so we go into it confident, you know. Obviously, you know, odds will be stacked against us, but I think, you know, when we're at it and we're playing well, we are a match for anyone, and we'll go into those games confident, as they will. But as we've seen Saturday, you know, Westbury drew it. Do it, Sheffield. So you know, I think there's points to be had.
Mm. I mean, with the club itself, though, I mean, you saying it's sort of a, would you say it's sort of like a small club, medium club, sort of large club, and also as well, is it one of those clubs where you feel that you, if you did get into the playoffs and you did go through in the playoffs, is the club itself set up financially and the actual club itself set up to go into step three?
Yeah, I think, you know, I wouldn't say it's a smallish club, but I think obviously probably by size they would say the fact that, you know, Portland is a village, but I think sort of, you know, we're the highest ranked side at our level in sort of Bristol and the surrounding areas. So obviously, you know, we're sort of high in that sense. You know, there's you know, clubs sort of like Froome, for example, they probably get a few more supporters, but I'm sure if we went up, you know, that would change. You know, we've got a great youth section, which, you know, which is great for the club. And you know, I think we are well sustained. You know, like I said, the social club is very busy, which helps with all the finances, no doubt. So so yeah, I think, you know, we are equipped to go up. The club did go up a few years back, I think they came straight back down the year after, but that was obviously results based, not finances. So I'm sure, you know, the club are prepared, and, you know, to make that step if it should happen.
And you, and yourself, I mean, how long have you been at the club?
As a manager, I've been in 4 months. I originally was a player here probably about 12 years ago. Obviously the previous manager left sort of start of November. So I've came in since then, always had a sort of that affiliation with the club. And, you know, when I spoke to the chairman and the board, you know, our sort of ambitions aligned of what we want to do, you know, spoke with all the players and, you know, they're a great bunch of lads and we're all sort of on board with what we want to do and achieve. You know, we all want to push on and you know, sort of have a real go at it, really. Mm.
And Ed, I mean, is it a club that, I used to be sort of part of a club where the youth sort of got really involved with the, you know, with the actual first team players, and the first team players were seen as like the Maradonas and Ronaldos and the Messis, et cetera, to these young kids. I mean, is that the sort of thing as well at Portland Rovers as well?
We've had, I'd say we're very lucky with the sort of the setup that they have there. We do, especially through pre-season and, you know, when games are called off, we get the opportunity to actually spend a lot of time with sort of the youth setup, and it's good for them as well when you've got sort of 16-year-olds obviously being able to play at sort of men's football, whether that's a friendly game or obviously in terms where we've had some of the sort of 16, 17-year-olds that have been involved within the first team as well. So it's a good sort of setup for them to really push on, and they have that opportunity then to come knocking on Craig's door and give him obviously some difficult headaches when it comes to, you know, bringing a squad together and involving them within the team as well. So yeah, we've seen a good few of this sort of youth lads over the last sort of 2-3 seasons that I've been with the club that have also been able to make first team appearances in the Southern League as well. What's great for them to aim towards.
And is that a thing that the club tries to do as well, Craig, with the scenario of trying to bring the youth players through as well? Just to, you know, are you sort of not just sort of like overseeing sort of the first team? Are you keeping an eye on what's coming through from the, you know, from the youth ranks and trying to build a side around where you've got sort of youngsters coming in with a few sort of like senior heads around them?
Yeah, I think Josh, who looks after the youth development at the club, you know, he does a great job, you know, from under 18 right down to sort of under sixes. So, you know, they have got that pathway. You know, we've got a few lads that are sort of in and around the squad at the moment. You know, a few of them are out on loan in the league below, which is great, really, because they're getting that exposure to men's football straight away. A few of them have made appearances for this season, so some of them regularly on the bench, you know, so it has got that pathway, you know, and it gives an example for the other lads. You know, there is, like I said, that pathway that they can get through into the first team, you know, and it's good for the town and for the surrounding people as well to know, you know, they've got sort of local homegrown lads that can make that step up.
And I mean, is it one of those things where you bring those youngsters in sort of into the sort of like your county cup games? And I mean, do you do that? And like, you know, it's a shame because there's no league cup in the Southern League, but I mean, is that the type of thing where you look at it and try and sort of give them a bit of first team football when it comes to, you know, competitions like that?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, we've got the Somerset Cup actually next Tuesday night. We've got Yeovil Town at home. Obviously, you know, that they'll probably field quite a strong team from what I gather. So, you know, we look to involve them where you can. Obviously, it's difficult as well because, you know, we've got 16 players now, like experienced lads. So it's not as if to say, you know, they can just because they're young lads, you know, they've got to be good enough and, you know, you need to sort of have a look at them in training, you know. And ideally, you want a few in pre-season. Got sort of bed them in and get them, yeah, that exposure through friendly. But yeah, there's always opportunities. Whether one week you could have 16 players, and you know, with injuries and suspensions, as we've known probably the last sort of couple of weeks, you know, the squad does reduce quite quickly. So to have these players to call on and be ready is good.
And when you get drawn against big clubs like that, I mean, is it a case of, you know, it's all right if you're playing sort of somebody that's sort of like maybe step five or in the same sort of level, you can just sort of, you know, maybe bet a few more youngsters. But when it comes to, you know, like a big side like Yeovil coming to you, or a case then where the likes of Ed are knocking on your door and saying, well, Gaffer, I want to play in this game because it's against Yeovil. Do you know what I mean? Does that make your decisions even harder?
I think they'll all want to play Rio. I think they'll see it as a big game. You know, I've come up against Yeovil before in this cup, and because they are probably the highest ranked sort of non-league club in around our area, you know, that put quite a few bodies on the gate as well. So it's a good game to play, and really, obviously, we're at home as well, so we're expecting a good crowd. And you know, it's good to test yourself. You know, so I think as well, you know, if we're in a good moment, which we have been, you want to keep that momentum with the players and you know, not sort of tinker with things too much. But then on the other side, you know, we have our priority sort of is the league, so we will have one eye obviously on Westbury Saturday, and obviously see how this Saturday goes with regards to sort of the players, how they're feeling with, you know, sort of what side we put out on Tuesday night. But we're there to be competitive. You know, I think, you know, it's a good cup to win when you get into the latter stages. So if we can progress against Yeovil, then, you know, it's something that we'll be keen to sort of go on it and win if we can.
So what round is it, Sir Craig?
I think it's the obviously second round moving on into the quarterfinal, obviously, that we can get through. So yeah, obviously, like I said, it'll come thick and fast now with obviously where we are at the season in the game. So, you know, hopefully we'll progress next Tuesday and see where it all takes us.
What other big clubs are in your cup? Because I know, like with mine and Ali's, we play, you know, we would play in the same ones, or used to when I was with the club I was at previously. You know, you'd have the likes of Southend, Colchester, you know, Dagenham and Redbridge would be like the sort of the three big ones that were always in that cup competition. Most of the time, they never won it, in all fairness, but they were always like the big three that were in it. And, you know, and we took on Southend home and away in two years in succession, like beaten both times. But so I think it's sort of what other sort of big clubs do you get in your cup?
I think like Yeovil, obviously the highest ranked, obviously in Somerset, obviously is based, and you've got Bath City, Taunton Town, Western Supermare. So we've got some sort of big step two, step three clubs that are, you know, that are in it, obviously, that predominantly normally get to the final. Then you sort of go down and sort of ourselves, Froome Town, Bridgewater, you know, so there is some real competitive fixtures of teams that are still in it. But yeah, it's nice to sort of test yourself against those teams when you come up against them. And like I said, when you, sort of, you know, people don't really probably take it seriously in the early stages. You know, I think some of these clubs come to us and make changes, maybe like we might have done, obviously, in the first round or etc. But I think as the game goes on, you know, I think it does dawn on you is something that you can win. And you know, I've played in the final before and won it, and it's a big occasion. You know, when you get to that, you know, you get a lot of people watching, and obviously, it's, you know, you don't really have a chance to win too much in your career. So when the opportunity's there, it's nice to take it.
Where do they play the final?
I think they randomly choose a ground. I think like a couple of times it's been at Portland, at Western, at Bridgewater. I won mine at Clevedon Town a few years ago. Maybe Bath City or even at Hewish Park at Yeovil as well. I think they randomly pick a ground because obviously it draws quite a lot of attention. So that I think they're quite keen to give that back to the club, you know, who hosts the final. So
we had a guest on last week from Chesson Football Club. And last season, they actually got through to the final. And I think it was against Hadley in the Middlesex. Yeah, Middlesex. Would it have been Middlesex? No, Hertfordshire Cup. They got through in the Hertfordshire County Cup. And, of course, they got the likes of Watford in there and Luton in there and these type of teams. Of course, they got through to the final expecting it to be at, like, a, you know, Vicarage Road or Kenilworth Road or somewhere like that. And they stuck it at Potter's Bar. And I can honestly say he was not happy. Do you know what I mean?
It could be worse. They could be Newham Athletics ground. Let's not do that.
I know, I've seen it.
No, I'm not starting any controversy. But
it's crazy. That's up near Ipswich, isn't it? Potter's Bar, is that that way?
No, it's literally just round the corner from us. It's literally in, I don't know, we're about to, just past Enfield, that sort of area, isn't it? Right. That area, and it just between Enfield and Potter's Bar. So, but yeah, and it's not, how can we put it? It's a step three ground, so it's not actually sort of like anything super special. That's nothing against Potter's
Bar. I hope you're not slating Potter's Bar grounds.
No, it's thing where you would, you know, if you're
going to start beefing Potter's Bar on our show today.
No, because it's like a case of if you get to a final, you know, as he said, I think last year, if Watford would have got to that final, it would have been played at Kenilworth Road. If Luton would have got to the final, it would have been played at Vicarage Road. Or it would have been played at some. So with that sort of thing, would you expect it to be played at sort of the biggest ground in Somerset, shall we say, that's not you know, of the team that's not playing. Say if it was Yeovil got to the final and you were playing Yeovil in final, because you wouldn't want to be playing them at their place. But would you expect that, though? You know, just as the day, you know, for the players and for yourself?
No, it's nice to obviously play at Yeovil because they've got a lovely ground, great pitch. But yeah, I think they would go to a neutral venue, maybe somewhere different. And yeah, I think when you get to that stage, you know, you sort of take whatever really, you know, as long as it's, you know, we know it's Somerset, so it's not going to be much travel for the boys. So, you know, when we get there, it'll probably be at the end of the season as well. So I think a few of the lads would be sort of keen to knock the season on the head and get off on their holidays or whatever. But like I said, if it comes to that, you know, I'm sure we'll be ready to wherever it is.
You could have a playoff final as well.
Be nice. It'd be nice. Yeah, I'm not going to hit it. So it's going to be a tough ask. Don't get me wrong with the teams we've got. But like I said, as long as we're still in and around the mix, you know, I think that's all we can ask for. And, you know, you can only look at Plymouth Parkway last year, the run that they went on to get promoted. And, you know, so there'll be lots of twists and turns, ups and downs yet. And, you know, like I said, we just got to take care of our business, really, and just sort of stay in the pack and you know, hopefully we can keep knocking on that door and get into the playoffs.
What would you say as well? I mean, a question for both of you. When if you've got to that situation where you get to the playoffs, that the most dangerous team in the playoffs are always the fifth place team, or 9 times out of 10, because, you know, and especially down in, you know, like Isthmian League level, where, you know, where we cover as well, you sit so many times where there'll be a team that will be like 10th. And all of a sudden they win. They go on this miraculous run. They then get into that sort of fifth place position in the playoffs. And then the second place team, of course, has then got to play the fifth place team. And of course, they're then down on their luck because they didn't get automatic promotion. And 9 times out of 10, the fifth place team then goes into that semi-final and becomes that dangerous team because they're on form where maybe the second place team isn't. So if, you know, would you agree, or would you say he's on it on the day?
I think last season that's exactly what happened. I think Winchester were fifth and they won the playoff final. They obviously got promoted into the Premier Division. So, like I say, it's very much a case of a momentum coming into that period. That if you've got a good, you know, a good run going on as well, and you're into that playoff position, then you know you do. You do obviously fancy yourselves, no matter if it's somebody who's been at the top of the top two all season and they've just missed out, or whether it's yourself just sort of squeezing in on the last game of the season. So you do, I think, like I say, it happened exactly the same last season in the playoff semi-final and the final as well.
Are you a fan, guys, of the playoffs, or would you prefer it to be the top two going up?
For me, I'm definitely a fan of the playoffs. You know, I think, you know, in certain cases, some team seasons can be over it if there's not a playoff pretty quickly after Christmas, really, if there's a massive gap in the points between the top two. I think, you know, I think it gives that team something to play for. You know, it always gathers that excitement as long as the season goes on, you know. And also, it's a tough one to take when you lose as well when you're in there. You know, I've lost in the semi-final with Portland before, and it's tough to take. But on the flip side, if you can win, I don't think there's any better way than winning the playoff. You know, you've got that excitement of the sort of semi-final as such, and then go on to the final, you know, and it's a real sort of exciting time knowing that, you know, you're one game away from promotion if you can get to that stage. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of it.
Ed, are you a fan?
Yeah, I think I've seen it times where obviously I've been at you know, over the seasons where, like you say, it comes to Christmas and there's two runaway teams that are so many points ahead of one another. You get to sort of the end of February, beginning of March, and you've got really nothing to play for because there's no opportunity to even, you know, get promoted due to how far first and second are ahead of everybody. So having the playoffs gives you, you know, even if you're obviously mid-table, you know, putting together a good run of results gives you that opportunity to play for someone at the end of the season. So it definitely gives, you know, it allows you to, at least as a player, continue to focus on, you know, that goal of trying to get into the playoffs instead of coming into sort of this time of year thinking to yourself, that's pretty much this season done and dusted. You know, and that sort of a commitment and determination to want to win every single game can obviously fade from some people. So, no, it's definitely good to have.
Ali, you a fan?
As a fan, yes. As someone been involved in two losses in a playoff, not so much. Thanks for bringing it up again, David. I appreciate that.
I'll just bring it up. But then again, I must admit, it's exactly the same for me. I mean, literally, you know, with Harlow, we lost in the playoff final twice. A bit like what you just said there, Ed, as well. It was 106 points for Needham Market, who got promoted. Harlow got 105. Both teams scored over 100 goals for that season. And Harlow lost in the semi-final to Thurrock, you know. So it was, you know, that was a real sort of, as you can imagine, that was a real killer. And then, of course, then, what Ali sort of talking about there, I think it was the season after, we got to the playoffs again and managed to beat Ali's team and another team in the final, and probably one of the best days in football I think I've ever had, because of the atmosphere that day was just unbelievable. You know, when that final whistle blew and you actually won the playoffs to go up. And I think some people I speak to turn around and say it's the better way to go up, because if you go up because of the, you know, what happens at the end of that playoff final where the fans are there and the atmosphere is just absolutely electric.
Yeah, it is. It's you know, it's one of them. It's sort of make and break and stuff like that. You know, that feeling that, you know, you're one game away, and if it can happen, and then if it doesn't, you're probably thinking, oh God, you know, you've got to sort of get the lads ready, start planning, obviously, for next season, obviously still in the same league, you know, you're sort of in between moments, you know. I expect as soon as the season ends, most people are already probably planning, you know, a month before the season ends, you know, so you're sort of in that limbo of where you're going to be. But like you just said, if you can go up by the playoffs, I think, you know, that excitement that it adds for everyone involved, I think it's a really good way.
So, I mean, what is the... I've always wanted to ask the manager this, and I suppose when you get to a situation where you might be going through a good run, then you end up with some tough teams and you end up through a bad run. How do you as a manager then get the likes of Ed and the rest of the team's heads up to sort of go again? What's your sort of secret plan in that dressing room to try and get that, the results turning? So, you know, put yourself in, say, I don't know, Mr. Arteta's head, you know, two games in a row, both been defeats. You know, how do you then for the third game then go in and go, well, look, come on, guys, we've got to get our heads up and go move on from there. I mean, how difficult is that to get them up for a start, and how do you manage to do it?
Yeah, I think it can be difficult. I think, you know, you probably can't get too carried away and high when you're on a good run. You know, because we all know football can change really quickly. You know, this time last week we were sat there with, you know, 5 wins on the spin, and now we've lost one midweek, drew Saturday. So, you know, I think it's just trying to sort of keep everyone sort of, you know, level headed as fact of where we're at and what we're trying to achieve, you know, and just sort of getting back to that sort of feel-good factor as such. You know, it's obviously difficult, you know, results change everything really in football. You know, once you've got that winning feeling, you just go into game and game. But I think as long as everyone's aware, you know, of the position that we're in, I think that's a big thing that I'll probably emphasise obviously this week. You know, nothing major happening. You know, we've had a couple of results which we know can easily happen. But I think that we're in a good position now. So it's just making sure everyone, you know, remembers that and the fact that we are in a great position, you know. And we can, as long as we take care of ourselves and everyone sort of buys into the fact of what we're doing and realise, you know, we have got a good opportunity. You know, there is some teams that are out of it now, out of that playoff pack. You know, we're right in the middle of it, and, you know, we're looking to, you know, strive up into that. So as long as the players are aware, you know, we'll take it game by game. You know, we've got tough games coming up. We know that. But I think we have got games that we can win as well, you know, and if we can beat the teams in and around us, I think that will play a massive part in where we get with regards to obviously getting into that sort of last playoff spot or two that are up for grabs.
Dave's been abducted for a moment there. You're in a great position, to be fair. I think you're in a great position. I'm looking at the league table. You're in a great position to be sort of making a good drive for the end of the season.
Yeah, I think when we looked at it before Christmas, we said like that was the aim, with stay in the playoffs. You know, we had a bit of a rocky start, which was always going to happen. You know, players getting used to me, vice versa, and what we want to do, and you know, bringing in new players and things like that. But now, you know, we're a lot more settled. You know, we sort of got strength and depth as such, as, you know, a bit of a more competitive squad. But yeah, you know, we're right in the mix of it, and you know, hopefully we can, you know, sort of get back to winning ways pretty quickly, you know, get some points on the board. And like I said, I think the key thing will be taking points off the teams that are in around us, because we have got everyone to play. They'll be saying exactly the same as what I'm saying right now. But like I said, we can only take care of what we want to do. And hopefully if Ed chips in with a few more fluky goals, you know, we might
I've got to say, I've got to ask you, Ed, what's Craig like as a gaffer? Is he a good gaffer? I know he's quite new in the job.
It depends. Well, if you want me to tell you what he's paid me to say, then no. But no, to be fair, you know, obviously Lox has been, you know, managing obviously the Poulton for the last sort of 4 or 5 months. But, you know, Lox and I have spoken over the years when he was at a different club. And, you know, we always had sort of mutual respect in terms of, you know, he wanted to play for me or have me to go and play for him or what have you. But actually having obviously someone that, as a manager that obviously believes in your own ability, but also what you can bring to the team. And I think what Lox has also done is obviously brought in some lads to have a sort of competitive 16, 17 every single week, what makes training, obviously training much more sort of intense, because there's people there that are wanting to prove themselves, but also, you know, on game day as well, that there's, it's always good to know that if it's not someone's day, there's somebody on the bench that's, you know, raring to go and get on the team, you know, get onto the pitch and actually, you know, help the team. So it's a good sort of dressing room that we've got now with the group of lads that we got. And, we just want to make sure that we can, you know, kick on from where we've obviously been. What's a decent position coming into sort of the Christmas period. So, yeah, moving into this year, we can hopefully get ourselves into the playoffs and, you know, do ourselves a bit of justice as well.
Well, we just had a message come in from somebody who watches the show every week, and James Carpenter. He says, I know tonight is a summer league show, but could you give a mention to Kwame Thomas of Herne Bay, who broke his leg on Saturday and in the abandoned Isthmian Premier League game against Horsham, and wish him a speedy recovery. And of course we do, and I've seen a picture of him today in his hospital bed today. You know, so we wish him all the very, very best.
Wishing you a very strong recovery, mate.
I suppose Ali, if you didn't know, guys, Ali is a physio, and but I mean, with an injury like that, how do you cope with that as a manager and as a player and as a physio? How do you cope when it's a scenario like that? I know Ali's been through, she's been through a lot, so she knows almost every scenario when it comes to stuff like that. But as a manager, when one of your players goes down with a really serious injury like that, I mean, how is that to one sort of you to cope with and sort of pick the team up and also as well, how does that affect the team when one of your teammates has had an injury as bad as what Kwame's had?
Yeah, I think it will have an effect on everyone, really. I think first and foremost, you know, the player's sort of health and how they are sort of takes priority over everything else. You know, I think you can easily get sort of sidetracked with football, you know, I said, but it sort of does come secondary to sort of personal life, your family, your work life, you know, so you do have those concerns. But, you know, so I think at the same time, you know, you know, if it happens to win a game, you've still got a sort of a game to take care of as such. And you know, I was involved in one in last year where a player broke his leg, you know, the game to get abandoned, obviously because they couldn't move him. And you know, and it's one of them, you know, it's you got to kind of say move on quickly from it, because, you know, essentially the football doesn't stop. From a manager's perspective, you know, you're going to check in on the player and, you know, and hope they're okay, and you know, because you know they are part of your plans, you know, just because they've got an injury, you know, maybe long term, you know, it's not as if you sort of put them to the side and you know they're no longer in your thought process. I think obviously short term, you know, they're not going to be available, which can cause a problem obviously if they're a player for you, so your mind does get ticking, go away, you know, what are we going to do, a replacement, or how are we going to line up for etc. You know, I think first and foremost, I think you check that as long as the player's sound, and if anything the club can do to help, you know, with the physio, with regards to, you know, work, whatever, obviously club insurance, if it's that serious, you know, all these little things can help, you know, but hopefully we don't get too many. Also, as part of football, they are going to happen, but yeah, they're never nice, you know. I think it's one of these things, but they're not nice to see.
Ed, from a player's perspective, I mean, how have you been through that scenario? And, you know, yes, if you have, how did you cope with it? If not, how do you feel the boys would cope with it?
Yeah, I think probably 4 or 5 years ago, I ended up in hospital from a 50-50 that sort of cut my leg open. But, you know, it was, and the game continued on, because obviously I was sort of able to come off. But I have been on the place in games before where, like I say, the game's been abandoned, and it's something that it's never nice to see and can be quite distressing as well, especially for, you know, not even if it's obviously your team or one of your teammates, but just in general to witness something like that is obviously difficult to sort of process right at the time. But I think it's kind of what you sign up for in football. You know, you play the sport that you love, but there's always that opportunity where an innocuous challenge or a mistimed tackle or something like that can obviously cause a serious injury. It's just unfortunately part of the parcel of playing the sport. But yeah, it's kind of one of those things. I think we had it at the start of the season where one of our players sort of got injured and had to be stretched off, ambulance had to be called, and you know, sort of the game sort of went on as we've seen. It was something relatively, it wasn't really something that you thought was a difficulty. It just looked like a coming together. But he's still not back in training, and that was sort of October time that the injury happened. So yeah, it's just sort of one of those things with the game, really.
Ali?
Well, I think you know my answer to that. I think you just, if I'm being biased and I'm getting on my little pedestal, it highlights the importance of physios like Georgia, who was there today to help. I think it highlights the importance of teams staying together, of kindness. It highlights the importance of looking after our players' welfare and our health on pitches. I think our careers are something we take for granted, don't they, in physio and in football, I take for granted that my boys have been on the pitch every day. I had a bad one on Saturday as well, and it's horrible when it happens, but I think it's really important to highlight the importance of just being kind to each other. So I've shared some players between Herne Bay and FC Dons, and they couldn't play on Sunday because of it. They were feeling a bit, they needed a bit more time to recover, and that's fine. It's important they take some time, and I think it's important as a league we get together and we say, actually, we're going to support each other through this. So yeah, it's never nice, is it? We always hope it doesn't happen. I had a few bad ones last year as well. It's just it's a part of the game, sadly, but it's important to be kind to each other and to remember to look after on the pitch, isn't it? And off the pitch as well. Yeah. And have physios, guys. That's all I'm going to say to you. I've seen too many no physio shows in the Essex League this season, and Saturday is another one with a physio to help me out. And it's just try and invest, if you can, clubs, try and invest in a physio or at least somebody. But invest in your coach, you're better at managing injuries. But I'll get off my pedestal now, Dave. Yeah.
I mean, Craig, have you got physio down at Portland?
Yeah, we got Ev. Yeah, he joined not long after we came in. He was he's a good bloke, to be fair. I was just literally thinking about that. He's very calm, Ev. He's very knowledgeable and calm, which I think I like in the dressing room. You know, he's laid back. He sort of listens to everyone, and you know, you can take his advice on board, and he's a good fit, you know. And I think it's important, you know, at the level, because you know, it's quite a demand the players have got on them to have that knowledge as well, because you know anything can happen on match day. You know, we've had quite a few injuries, you know, or in the last few weeks, so to have someone with knowledge of what they're doing, you know, it helps us as staff, and obviously the players as well, with what they can do, not only when they're with us at Portland in training and games, but obviously giving you that advice of how to look after yourself out of football as well, when you're at home, you know, because I think, you know, every player will tell you when they're unfit, it can be a tough time, so it can get you back on the pitch as soon as possible. But yeah, they're a massive part of the game today, you know, and you know, we're lucky to have Ev, because there seems to be a shortage of physios. I don't know if Ali will tell you that there seems to be very many around. You know, the moment you lose a physio, you know, you can advertise all you want, and it seems like an age to try and get one in. And you know, and when you get one, you know, you think, you know, please don't go anywhere, don't go on holiday, don't be unavailable, just stay, you know, because you know, I don't want the players whinging that they want a rub and they haven't had their rubs, so they can't perform, or they're feeling tight, they need what can they do, etc., you know, just but yeah, they're a massive part of the game today. Yeah, so we're lucky to have him. He's a top bloke.
I mean, when you went into when you went into Portland, what was the plan? I mean, you know, when you sat down with the chairman and you said there was, you know, was the outcome for this season to be, you know, to actually sort of make sure Portland get promoted or get into the playoffs or automatic, or was it just to keep mid table? I mean, what was the actual sort of plan that was given to you, or you had a discussion with the chairman? What was your goals for the season?
I think exactly what I've just said earlier on the show. You know, I think we were sort of just outside the playoffs when I joined, and I said it was important that we stayed there. I think I think Portland have always sort of been in that sort of mid-table-ish sort of area, you know, like sort of pushing towards the playoffs. And obviously the last few years, they haven't broke into it. I said, but that's got to be the aim. We probably haven't got the resources of a few teams in our league, quite a few of them, but, you know, we know we have got a good group of players, you know, some good senior players, some lads that have had a decent amount of games now at clubs, you know, so we've got a good squad together. We knew it'd take time, obviously, from coming in. Nothing happens overnight, you know. We're still obviously learning now. There's things that I think probably should have done that, or maybe should have tweaked this and that, obviously, with regards to sort of games and that we've played. I said, but, you know, the brief in the picture hasn't really changed, really. You know, we need to try and get into the playoffs, I think, and that's the big thing I'll be driving into the players, you know, that we're in a great position now. You know, we don't want to let that slip. You know, we can't lose sight of where we are and what we need to do. So, you know, as long as we are where we are, you know, that'd be honed into the players. You know, I don't want to be in 3-4 weeks time, you know, probably, you know what it's like in football. You can lose 3-4 games on the spin and think, oh, you know, it's probably too much to catch up. You know, I can't really, you know, I don't want that to happen. But then on the flip side of that, we can win 3 or 4 games, which we've proven, obviously, the last month, 6 weeks, you know, we won 5 games on the trot, and it's put us to this position where we are now. And, yeah, you know, we want to be in those playoffs, really. That's the brief, you know. And once we're there, you know, the club are on board with everything. If we had the opportunity to go up, there would be no issues. You know, they'd be fully supportive, and, you know, that'd be, regardless if it's this season or whatever, you know, that would be the aim for next season. You know, we need to probably try and get into the playoffs again and see where it takes us.
Well, I think if you win the next three, the you know, confidence will be quite high, won't it?
Well, yeah, if we can be Tottenham, Sheffield in Westbury, you know, I think we'll, we'll stand in good stead. You know, it was disappointing this week, I think, because just as a sort of like a perspective, you know, if we had won Tuesday night and took more points Saturday gone, we would have gone into the playoffs. But obviously, we're still situated. I think just, you know, that would just sort of give everyone a little bit of insight. You know, we're in the playoffs now. Now, let's stay in there, you know. But, you know, we've still got games in hand on teams. And obviously, we've got to take care of those results when they come round. But, yeah, you know, it's going to be tough. But if we can be difficult to beat and, you know, like I said, score some goals along the way, you know, we've got as good a chance as anyone.
I'm just looking at it. There's a game in the Southern League tonight, and Barwell beating Leeston by 2-0 as it stands. So, in the Southern Prem, but I mean, with the actual football itself, Ed, I mean, where do you see your plans? You know, are you now sort of like looking to stay with Portland for the considerable future? Or are you looking to? I know the governor's sitting there. Is your goal as an individual player to play here at step 4, step 3, step 2, or to push on higher?
I think, you know, if I go back sort of 3 years or so, we were in the playoffs, obviously Poulton, and then COVID came, and obviously that scuppered that entire season. So when I obviously had the opportunity to come back to Poulton, the sort of aim for me was to always get that, you know, be part of getting the club sort of promoted, because I know that's where the club want to go. So for me, sort of myself with my work commitments, you know, I've sort of had the, you know, the opportunity and was lucky to obviously sort of play sort of the level above. But having the sort of locality of obviously Poulton sort of being about 40 minutes from home, but also being able to manage the training and also being able to commit to the club in terms of obviously training as well as making all the games. That's obviously an important part of, you know, obviously playing at this level, is not to just rock up on a Saturday and expect to play football, but to also be there training once, twice a week. And whether that's home games, obviously, or away as well. So, you know, I want to make sure that I can be a part of obviously the club getting promoted, and then obviously it'd be great to obviously get back into sort of like the Prem division, obviously of the Southern League, and then obviously sort of keep a club there as well. So, you know, it'd be great for us to obviously be able to do it this season, and then obviously move into the league above next.
I mean, with it, I mean, my sister lives down in your neck of the woods. She lives in Bridgewater. So I think the last time we came down, I managed to go down and get to see a game down at Cheddar, which was an experience, to say the least, to go and see them play down there. So I think the next time we go up there, we'll probably have to come down and see you guys play down if you're at home that weekend.
Yeah, come on down. You know, you'll be welcome. You know, we've got a good loyal supporters that make you feel welcome on the gate. You know, I'm sure they're get you a coffee to warm you up, whatever that might be, or whatever you like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How far away from sort of Bridgewater, sort of Cheddar, are you?
Probably I'd say 35 minutes. Bridgewater probably 45 to an hour. I'd probably say, yeah. Obviously, we're a little bit sort of inland from the M5, obviously where Bridgewater is. But yes, yeah, it's not too far. You know, it's just a straightforward sort of drive in. You know, we got a sort of couple of lads sort of down that way, sort of not so much near the M5, but Ed's a little bit south of Somerset as well. We got a couple of other lads near like Somerton, one of our players. So he's fairly near Bridgewater that makes the journey sort of street Bridgewater way that make the journey up to Portland. So yes, it's not too far.
Must have always find myself down at Cheddar because there's a lovely cafe down there called the Cheddar, the Gorge. Little tiny, yeah. Fantastic food in that, you know. But anyway, that's going off to where we are. But I mean, whereabouts are the likes of Bridgewater and that, you know, in the step process? Are they what, step five, step six? Where are they?
They're the below us. Yeah, Bridgewater, the step five. So they're the league below. I think they're doing quite well in the league. I think they lost Saturday, but I think they're currently second. So they're looking to go up. If I'm honest, they are a Southern League club. They always were, to be honest. I think, you know, they did come out a few years back and obviously they found it difficult to get back in. But, you know, by fan base, you know, they are a Southern League club. But yeah, they're step five looking to get promoted.
And is your big derby at the moment Bristol Manor Farm? Is that the big derby?
No, I'm not sure. I'd probably say it's by location. It's probably Froome.
Froome or
Larkhall,
probably.
Yeah, Larkhall. There's Westbury as well. We're all sort of pretty close together. Yeah, Bristol Manor Farm, Larkhall, Froome, Westbury, ourselves. We're all sort of within probably half an hour, 35 minutes of each other.
What is your, you know, like your Liverpool Everton or your Tottenham Arsenal, what is the game that you look forward to looking when you see that fixture list come up? What's the game that you look forward to playing the most for both of you, really?
What's yours, Ed?
Probably Froome, I think. Over the years, obviously played against Froome quite a few times and they always have a good, strong, you know, a good, strong group of fans as well. That are always giving you stick on the sidelines. It's always nice to have, to be honest. So, yeah, always enjoy playing against Froome. It's always a tough competition, and they're always sort of up there challenging for the title in the last few seasons, especially. So, it's always a good test to put yourself up against the best teams in the league. So, yeah, over the years, it's always been Froome for me. Good, always a good game.
Yourself, Craig?
Yeah, oh, I was going to say Froome as well. You know, I think they're sort of a good club at the level. You know, like Ed just said then, you know, they've been challenging the last few years. I think all of our players probably know players from their team and vice versa. I used to play with their manager, so, you know, we've got that sort of affiliation. You know, just, and in fact, it's local as well. I think Froome are well followed. So in the fact that there's not much distance between the two clubs, you know, there's going to be a big crowd from both sets of fans. So yeah, I'd probably say Froome.
What's your worst journey in your life?
Worst journey? I'd probably say...
Probably Bashley or Sholing. I would have thought that, yeah. Like down in the New Forest or Southampton area.
Wow. So he's quite glad to see the back of Plymouth Parkway though last year.
Yeah, I think that was... Yeah, I think quite a journey, especially if you've got to do it on a midweek. I think that will take its toll. But yeah, I think you're always going to get these journeys, aren't you? I think it's kind of what you sign up for, you know, regardless of the location. It can make it difficult at times, especially if it's midweek. You know, we had to go to Bishop's Cleeve last Tuesday, you know, and it's always difficult. Lads have got work and commitments like that, you know, so to get there and, you know, sort of on time, you know, because you're sort of fighting, you know, traffic and et cetera. You know, we didn't have a coach because obviously we got a few lads in Bristol, so it wasn't sort of financially, you know, didn't make sense to get a coach, you know, so we all went up in cars. So, yeah, you know, you've got to make that commitment. But, you know, if we'd have won, it would have felt a lot better, but it didn't. But, yeah, you move on to the next one and, you know, it's like I said, it's what you sign up for. So it's something you kind of just sort of deal with and move on, really.
I mean, Ed, how difficult is that to get tired of work, you know, with those? I mean, is it difficult? I mean, I do stuff for Enfield Town, which is quite close to where I am. And, you know, and especially when the fixtures get changed at the last minute or games get called off, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm I'm an assistant manager in a supermarket. So all of a sudden you've got to look at your rotors and it could be 2 weeks' time, if you get 4 weeks' rotors in a row or whatever else, you've got to go to the boss and say, oh, boss, any chance that I can have Tuesday night off? Do you know what I mean? Or whatever. How difficult is it for you as players?
Yeah, I think I'm quite lucky in the sense the company that I work for, sort of I can manage my diary quite well. So I try to obviously make sure that when we do have obviously games, I'm as local as can be. And then obviously if I need to be away, then it's sort of obviously when we don't have a midweek. So I'm quite fortunate of that. I know some of the other lads are obviously self-employed, so they can try and work their diaries around. But we obviously do also have people that work within offices where they're having to sort of make up the time or, you know, in some cases for some of the bigger journeys that we've had to do, you know, take half days off work to be able to facilitate playing. So, some people obviously have the restrictions of their working hours within their contract to, you know, and then also then try and make a journey and be there ready to for the warm up and ready to play. So, it can be challenging in some senses. And then all of the fixture rearranges we've had with obviously some of the freezing weather has obviously also made it very challenging to try and shuffle everything round and then work and diaries change again. So it's keeps you on your toes, that's for sure.
As the governor as well, Craig, does it make it difficult? Is it plenty of phone calls? Are you going to get the time off and all the rest of it? And then you never know who's going to turn up, shall we say, at the game because of travelling and traffic and stuff like that. Does that make it a headache for you?
Yeah, I think, you know, as long as we say to the lads, you know, if we know exactly, you know, where they can, they might be struggling a little bit. You know, I think availability, you know, we're realistic, you know, not everyone's going to be available all the time with their work commitments, and that's totally fine. That's with training and games. I think as early as we know, I think as soon as we get fixtures as well, I think, you know, I'm quick to bang them out to everyone so they can adjust, you know, to what they've got to do, obviously, to work around that. But yeah, it can be difficult in time. I think the worst ones probably are on match days, you know, because I've always been quite sort of hard and on time, you know, being on time. But you know, you've got to adjust. You know, things happen, people are late and traffic, etc. But you know, is you know, you're always sort of dreading that thing. Oh, I'm stuck in traffic, or I'm going to be late. You know, because you just want to sort of plan, and you know, you don't want to be rushed. I think that's the big thing on match days. You want to be sort of prepared as much as you can. But you know, you've got to be realistic. It's not always going to happen. But to be fair, the group's really good. To be fair, you know, we don't have many people missing too much. You know, then the ones that are, you know, we know about it in time. But yeah, hopefully no one's got any holidays I don't know about yet. They might throw in last minute Easter or something. But
now's the time, Ed. Quickly tell him.
I'll send him a message later. It'll be fine. Yeah.
I mean, sort of final question, sort of more of a fun question more than anything else. And, you know, and Ali, you can probably answer this question as well. You've got two teams, you can probably give two answers. But in every club and every team, there's always one person that's always late. You say it's 1:30, you've got a bit of the ground for it. There's always that one person that's always late. So when it was Harlow Town, it was always Fabian Sims. Always late without foul. So I mean, who is it important?
I mean, I'd probably say it's Nick Hewlett, but Craig probably keeps an eye on the time more than I do, to be fair.
I'd agree with Ed there. Nick's a player that I brought with me from my previous team, and he had the same sort of issues there. In fairness to him, he does have to travel more than everyone else. Here's a good one for you. We played Cinderford away on the 2nd of January. So Nick was kind of like, I knew he was going to be late. I knew he was. And I was sort of ringing him. He's like, as the game goes on, I'm looking at my phone. We always meet an hour and a half. So we're meeting at 1:30. And the message comes through, I'm going to be 15 minutes late. And then it said, oh, I'm going to be 2:10. And anyway, we were warming up. He was starting with us, I think, because, you know, we needed him to play. I think he got there sort of midway through the warm-up. But anyway, he scored the first goal. We won 4-0. So you muddle your way around it. After the game, I sort of said, well, why don't you drive to someone who's a little bit further up than where you are? Joe Morgan, for example, lives quite near the ground. Why don't you drive to the ground and then get in with Joe? His reply to me was, well, I'll just make Joe late, won't I? And in a way, I admire his honesty. I think it was his way of saying, look, he's always going to be late. I think, you know, he was late Saturday, but I think he's just one of them. He's a good lad, Nick. I think he might struggle with his timekeeping a little bit. But yeah, he has got further to come in his defence. But, you know, he's a good player. So sometimes you just manage it as best you can.
Ali?
I don't even want to comment, to be honest, Dave, because some of the players sneak in when the McGaffer's not looking. I don't want to get them fined. They come in. The best one I have, they come in, they help me with my bag because they've been a bit late. I don't know, my bag's outside, don't worry.
So Ali's actually physio for Barking on a Saturday and SE Dons on a Sunday.
SE Dons, a lot of them are always late. I wouldn't worry about it. It's who's on time. That's the best question to ask at the Dons. Who's on time?
Well, listen, guys, a massive thank you for joining us. We do wish you all the very best at the weekend, and we'll let Craig go and see his youngster, because I can see that Despy wants her dad. So we'll let you do that. So we'll let you go. And a massive thank you. And I still think it was a shot. You let yourself down there, Ed. I thought, you know, I thought it was a great goal, but there we go. But
he's trying to claim it, mind. He's being a bit modest. He's been telling everyone he's been trying to claim it.
But one quick miss, it just doesn't sit with the lads, unfortunately. So there's no point trying to blag it any longer.
When he reels off his stats, probably in a couple of weeks or so, this one's very much, you know, this will be at the top of there, you know, definitely one. But to be fair, you know, no one's going to care what they are, you know what I mean? They'll tally that, chalk that off. So that's not a problem.
But one thing I just wanted to quickly say before we go is we mentioned her earlier on, and I suppose we should send best wishes to her as well, because she's got to go in for some more biopsies as well. So all the very, very best to you, Em, and hopefully everything goes okay for you, and everything goes in. It's a very, very positive for you. I know she's not watching because she's actually physioing at the present minute time, or doing it privately at the minute. So I know she's not watching, but she might watch it or listen to it later on. But so we wish you all the best for those in the coming months. But guys, for Craig and Ed, it's been fantastic talking to you. It really has, and really been a pleasure. And thank you for giving up your time today. And we wish Portland all the very, very best for the rest of the season. And we hope to see plenty of goals on the goal show in the coming weeks as well.
No, it's been good. Good to talk to you all. I hope hope we get some positive results.
There we go.